10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This podcast presents information based on theory and conjecture. The creator's purpose is to suggest some possible explanation, but not necessarily the only ones to the mysteries we will examine. Remember, everything that you hear from this podcast comes from sources on the internet, and remember, if it's on the internet, it should be taken with a grain of salt and judged by your own discretion. Come take a journey with us as we explore topics of the occult, paranormal, conspiracy, and other dark subject matter. Welcome to the Dark Matter Podcast with your hosts, Mojo and Dr. Clutch.
Welcome! Welcome to the Dark Matter Podcast! Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Yes, we are on the air right now, and we are back on for another episode. March 30th, 2024.
March 30th.
Right? Yes, we are, and we have a few people here on the show that would like to speak here, but as we're going to do a little bit of an introduction right here, please mute your mics as we talk a little bit about what's going on in this weird world of ours, and then we will join into the discussion. I'm really grateful for one to be here with all of you again, sharing this space with you and having you all join me on the show. I don't know, Clutch. I am starting to get really, really, really fed up with constant propaganda.
Fed up,
man.
You say?
Yes,
constant
sir.
Propaganda. Are you excited for Trans Awareness Day this Sunday? Would you call this a humiliation ritual or what?
I don't know, man. It's not so much I don't know. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
It is Easter. I'm wondering if any Christians actually feel humiliated, because I think that's ultimately kind of the backhanded intent of putting a Trans Observance Day on Easter, just to, like, you know,
yes.
50% of Christians are going to be like, yeah, cool. And then the other 50% are just going to be like, oh, doesn't matter. It's annoying, but it doesn't
I don't know,
matter.
Man. I don't know, dude. But, like, I mean, like, I try to avoid this stuff. I used to try to engage it. I still want to be fearless and tell people to go fuck themselves. And, like, I'm really trying. Hello, how you doing, Nate? How you doing, my brother? You're on here with us as well. Hello, Silva. How you doing? Howdy-ho! Howdy-ho. How you doing? I'm just, like, fed up with it, man. Like, I go to work expecting things to work and just to work and earn a paycheck. And I don't expect, and now I'm finding out that, like, this propaganda is now, like, federally mandated. And, like, I'm having a look at my email. I open up my email and I'm getting like DEI shit, and I'm not going to mention the company I work for. I'm not going to go that far into it, even though I feel like I should, but I just feel like this shit, yeah, like I go that. Watch a movie, I watch a movie, it's there, it's in the movie, and the movie sucks. I go to fucking listen to music, yeah, and like all of my musical heroes at one point, like not all of them, but a vast majority of them have like succumbed to this, like.
So you don't listen to P. Diddy anymore?
He's on No, I do not. Yeah. Well, I never really listened to
P. Diddy, but.
Yeah, I never was a fan of like any of the mainstream shit, and I still am not. But like, I mean, like, I'm just tired of it, man. It just feels like its intent is to get us pissed off and emotional and to freak out. And like, for every day, like, I smile and I fucking put my head up and I've strived hard throughout like every day of my life to try to be positive and nice and treat everyone with respect. I've tried to, and 808 says, what happens when you mix R. Kelly and Puff Daddy together? Tell us what happens when you mix them together.
Yes.
Please do. And then I will repeat the joke and, put it on the air. Yeah, P. Daddy. Yeah, there we go. Ba-doom-sh.
Drum roll.
Yeah, so I've been having a hard time with it, man. Like, I've already got like I ain't trying to say like I'm a survivor, I ain't no victim, but like this shit, like, you know, like I don't know. I guess you would have called me like a sort of a middle of the line liberal, sort of a Daily Show liberal type of person, you know, like that's how I was raised and grew up.
Weren't we all Daily Show liberals back in 2000?
Yeah, it was somewhat subversive. 24 years ago. Yeah, I mean, what we had for our example was the yeehaw politics and shit shoved down our throats by the Bush administration. So it just seemed to kind of open the door for it, you know? You know, and it kind of seemed to opened the door, not knowing that these people were kind of interconnected and one and the same. They just changed their color, right? They just changed from blue to red, red to blue, and it's just the same people. But it just seems like this, it just is like a wanted fucking apocalypse, man, like on us. Like they want Mad Max. They want us to fight each other. If we're not pissed off at our neighbor, we're pissed off at the amount of immigrants coming across the border, we're supposed to be angry at them, or we're supposed to be pissed off at, like, it's like deliberate, like where are all these people that are on this show? I mean, not on the show, but like, sorry, I'm kind of like, it's just kind of bothering me. Where are all these people from these different like ethnic groups or gender groups that do not want to join into the herd or the hive, you know? I mean, maybe they're afraid to speak out because of the collective consciousness type stuff, but yeah, if we're not pissed off, we're not distracted, and it feels like a giant fucking distraction, right? Like, well,
yeah, there's really not much in the way of hope for uniting a whole lot of I don't know. There's some unification, but not a whole lot. As far as it's just hard to unite anything that's right of center, you know. So it doesn't seem like that.
You know, as much as I went, yeah, but you know, like for me, like as much as I like believed in what I did back then, and then what I evolved into, and now being like from red pilled to finally feeling a little black pilled. Like, yeah, for me, it is. I don't want to sound like a fan. Actually, I gotta stop saying like you know, like bro, you know. But what I feel,
it's okay to be Californian, bro.
I just I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Like, it just, there's a days where you like take all of this stuff in, right? And like you try to pass it through. And like what the universe has shown me is like no matter how far like right I went, or left I went is that I have a center, right? And that this center eventually leads to people that show me kindness and positivity and it's almost like there's something out there. I believe in a creator, you know, like an entity, not like in the Judaic form, but that the universe shows me that there are people that are, you know, they're just following like what they've been told. But a lot of them are like, they're no less intelligent or creative or whatever, man. And like the only thing that got me to push to what I would consider like right or far left or whatever was outrage and just feeling small and unable to change things by myself. And what I'd like to do with this show is mm-hmm. that everyone that's here, I hope that like, even though like you and I align on a lot of things and there are some things we disagree on, but like we're friends and like, I would like this show to be something like that where we get along, even if we don't agree mm-hmm. on something, that we can talk about stuff and that we can try to bring awareness from our perspective and our stuff. But I want us to be like a place where we open up communication, and I want to combat the hive mind that's being imposed on us with another hive mind, sure. Which means, you know, everyone's here, and we're also connected to a Telegram channel by the name of the same podcast. That if anyone here wants to join us on the Dark Matter podcast with Mojo the Mad Dr. Clutch on Telegram, you're more than welcome. Please post. Please Indeed. Tell us what you're feeling. Please engage. You know, talk to us. Like, we want to change. It's a culture war, and I kind of feel like no matter what I do, like I cannot sit idly by and like not try to contribute not to the culture war itself, but to culture or trying to do something creative. You know, you and I, like, we were both musicians. We struggled with bands. We struggled with trying to find ourselves and the belief that, like, if we did something creative, that it wasn't a hobby. It was something that we were compelled to do, you know? And, Melissa Best is saying, if we the people, don't speak up and educate, we are part of the problem. Yep, absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with all of you, and I want to let you guys know that like this is a part of my evolution from the previous podcast me and Clutch did to the one I did before. Like I at one time felt like I was, you know, marching patriotically down the far right drum, and like now I'm just like, I don't know. I feel somewhat hopeless, fuck it. Fuck it. So, yeah. Should we get started in a little bit of some weird news, world news, and then we'll get to some of these topics we were kind of briefly talking about? But let's, you know, I've been speaking. Yeah. How was your week, Clutch? Yeah, please tell me your week.
How was my week? My week was a little bit slow. I'm looking for a job, and I'm, you know, slow going. Had an interview. I've got an interview lined up for Monday. We'll see how it goes, but kind of treading water. And things seem to move in slow motion when you don't have a job, because it's harder to make plans, harder to, you know, like it's just better to always have like an income stream coming in, because then you feel like life is a little more predictable. You kind of know what's going on more. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping to do kind of outside sales gig where you can pull down some reasonable cash, and we'll see. But I might end up with something ridiculous.
Well, I hope the best.
Yeah. I hope for the best too. Yeah.
One of the greatest things that I like to do is bring people together of different types, man. And I was really like, one of the things I was able to get Clutch, Dr. Clutch here. He's a drummer. You know, and I have a friend named Kirk, and he plays guitar, and both of them have shared frustrations and stuff. And this is one of the things I like to do. I like to bring people together. I like to, you know, share with that. And I hope that you and Kirk at some point, when you guys get settled, you do think that you guys have got music, we'll play one of your songs here on the program. And that goes for everyone that's listening here. If you got music that you want to put on, I need an MP3 format, no more than 5 minutes long. And I will share your music, regardless of the genre, regardless of whatever. I am a person that wants creative thoughts, and I want you to be able to share your music here with me. So if you need to, please share with me the your email or whatever you can, and I will put your music on the air. Like, I am about free thought, free expression. So without that being said, I think we should get into some weird news, world news, and if people want to come on, go ahead and hit the phone so you can connect, and then I'll get you onto the show. And I want to thank everyone that's here on the show. We just got South Ozman here. Hell yeah! Nate 808. We got my love, Silva, I love you. Thank you for being a strength in my life. Thank you for joining the show. We got Melissa Best here. Hell yeah! Let's give him a round of applause, everyone that's here. I love you too, baby. Thank you so much. Okay. Yes! That is for the price of love. And, you know, like, love is you know, that I believe in a creator? Yeah. I want to tell you how I finally believed in a creator is because the love of my life of 12 years found me and searched for me. And I was praying for someone in my life to come into my life that would share me and understand me and not judge me and love me. And she hunted me down. Yes, she did. That's what she said. She hunted me down. I still owe you a Slurpee. Oh. All right. So we're going to go ahead and go into some weird news. World news. Welcome to another edition of Weird News, World News. All right, everybody, we're into another edition of World News, World News, Weird News, World News, Weird News, World News. And this is one of the more, this is where we start to talk about various topics that have hit the headlines and stuff that is not only paranormal, possibly occult, possibly apocalyptic, possibly very political. Mm-hmm. And this is a part where we talk and discuss about these things in a bit on our show that we love to do. As with most of these topics, is we have people on our show that would like to talk about them with us. We will move with this fluidically. If the conversation goes longer and we start to go into a main topic, of course, everyone that's here on the show can also engage with us on the main topic of today. And our main topic is what, Clutch?
We're talking about channeling for the main topic. But what is Weird News World News? What's the topic for
Weird News? Well, Weird News World News is... Well, we have one topic here. Why don't we go ahead and go into that? Okay, this is from Fox News. Biden slammed on social media after announcing Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. Biden has previously come under fire for his stance on the LGBTQ plus CIA and the abortion issues, given his position as a devout Catholic. This is by Haley Jinxing. Published March 30th, 2024. Kind of funny that this came out the day before, right? So the President Biden was slammed on social media on the last minute after making Easter Sunday the most solemn Christian holiday and Transgender Day of Visibility. Prominent Christians, politicians, commenters flooded social media platforms with the criticism after the announcement from the White House. While on March 31st, this has been designated to honor transgender movement within the Biden, since Biden took office. This year falls upon Easter Sunday, one of the most important days for Christians, as us pagans and heathens call it Ostara, though. Ostara.
What do we call it? Ostara?
It's Ostara. Yeah, Astarte is the goddess of spring, I believe, and it is also
Astarte goddess.
A holiday. Yeah, it's a goddess, man. The rabbit is a animal that goes back to Ostara and goes back to its pagan roots, but it was reconstituted as a Christian holiday. But don't get me wrong.
I think she's an Anglo-Saxon goddess.
Yeah, Anglo-Saxon goddess. But it was also, there's different versions of that goddess within the European mythology, even Greek and others. So anyway, as they celebrate the resurrection of Christ, on Transgender Day Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans as we reaffirm our nation's commitment to transhumanism. Yes, I added that. To a more perfect union. Okay, so resistance is futile. You will all be absorbed. And
well, here's something kind of interesting that I don't think they quite thought this through about. I wanted to, so the whole, like, rabbits thing around Easter, you know, rabbits have a lot to do with sex and, like, everything to do with sex. And, okay, yeah, so sure, like, you've got all these transgender people that are sort of fixated on their own sex as an identity. However, the transgender people generally can't procreate the way rabbits do. So, like, if you got a bunch of fucking rabbits, you get, like, a bunch of fucking bunnies after, you know, because they're going to fuck. So like when trans people have sex, generally speaking, it doesn't look like it's for procreation purposes the way rabbits have sex. Just throwing that out there because I think, you know, it's supposed to be about fertility, and like the trans thing is kind of nothing to do with fertility. Like, and these are also the same people that are like pro-abortion.
Trans doesn't mean transgender anymore. It means to transform. So it starts to go back into that whole Levy, as above, so below, like alchemist, like
Batman. So are you saying that, like, transformers are the other trans people? Like, you transform into a.
I think that, I think if you want to go into that aspect, I believe these cartoons were like. Thank a straight person for your existence, says Silva. Yes, we thank you. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. To me, it goes into, like, if you look into Abrahamic or Jewish mythology, it goes, I'm going to put it out there. I don't give a shit, because fuck it.
What about the Trans-Am from Pontiac? Were those, I mean, that in Knight Rider... Like the Trans Am kit, was that a trans car? I guess he was a talking car.
I guess so, but so like those. No, but let's take a look at the real history of those cartoons, though. I believe that they were
cartoons.
Subtle, very, very subtle forms at the time that they came out to try to get people into. Into gay shit, man. Into acceptance of that.
What do you remember? The GoBots. I think the GoBots were a little more alphabet friendly than the Transformers. Do you remember the GoBots? They were like the kids.
I do remember
the
GoBots. Transformers. they were more like the dollar store version of the Transformers. But look at He-Man and shit, right? Like, He-Man was like cartoons for gay kids. Even the Filmation thing that pulled up was all rainbow, you know. What about Fisto and his creamy goo? You know, why every single of those archetypes seemed to be like Fisto, He-Man.
Fisto?
Yeah, Lockjaw, Beastman, like all of that shit. Why was there only two
Fisto?
Women? There was only two women. Yeah, Fisto.
He-Man. Fisto.
Yeah, creamy
goo. Oh, okay. Yeah, he had a big fist. Huh, Fisto. And he has like a... Is that, it's like a, he already, he does look like a lesbian, so that's kind of a perfect name for, I don't know. Yeah, he looks kind of dykey for a dude. Fisto, that's, well, that's yeah, just weird. I didn't know.
And
I, well,
now says, I know Fisto and McBiggo.
Fictional character
it closely.
From.
It's been, it's, okay, just much like the subtleness of the propaganda being sent to me by my work, it has to be subtle. Right now is the big fucking push. They don't really give a shit. They do not give a shit if this stuff is out there in the open now. Now they're just gonna go ahead and go cuckoo bananas with us. And if anything, like, we can go back to body modification, as I've talked to you before, and that basically surgically altering yourself to be a female or a male despite your shit does not make you male or female, but it is a form of extreme body modification only set up by the previous freaking body modification shit that was going on, you know, for a while. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? I just follow it. I just see the signs. I
mean, it looks like Fisto is, according to this cartoon image, he has like a, he modified his body somehow. He has a massive fucking iron fist. Talk about body modification. Holy shit, Paul.
Yeah.
So it's like he had his.
Anybody
whole,
would like to come on our show?
Just like,
Yo, what up?
Hey, what's up, brother? That? How you doing?
Man, just chilling.
Oh, is that Elvis?
What up, dog?
Elvis is on here. Ah, oh, shit. Ooh. Elvis Bell. Elvis is here. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Yeah, he's come on the show. Welcome. Welcome, Elvis, back to the show. I think we had some problems with with your Silvis says it's not Elvis, just peeping.
This is peepee.
It's peeping.
Well, I think you came on the show, my friend, and we couldn't hear you last time, so you just kind of bailed, but South Osman, anybody who wants to come on our show, we can go ahead and discuss things. Hell yeah. That's not pee-pee. That's a space station. That's damn straight, Nate. So what is your thoughts on this assault right now that people are saying is assault on, you know, I believe it's there to create outrage, man. Really, it feels like another push to get people outraged, everyone emotional, that it's cats and dogs living together. Holy crap. And we're living in Mad Max.
Well, to be like, you know, as honest as I can be, the upcoming like eclipse has me a little nervous. And whenever I'm like nervous about like big cataclysmic things potentially, everything else just seems like trivial. Like none of that shit would matter. Like if super volcanoes erupted, if a big enough solar flare, aliens, nukes, whatever, if anything real, real big like that happens, then everything else is, you know, fucking trivial, essentially. So until I kind of get past eclipse season, I guess, then, you know, I'll have to, as I told my little friend the other day, I'm like, you know what, it always just seems like it keeps edging and then it keeps getting pushed back. You know, there's all these astrological things. There's all this stuff stirring around the world. There's volcanoes. There's glaciers melting. There's fucking meteors. There's Planet X, whatever. It gets edgy and then it fucking like gets pushed back. So I told my friend, I'm like, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. The eclipse is going to come. Nothing serious is going to happen. And then the next big mile marker will be like December or September or some shit. But for me personally, I just need to get past the fucking
eclipse.
You know, whatever feels sort of kind of like looming. And then like once that kind of like chills out, then, you know, I can kind of maybe put my senses more about me. But even now, all that being said, I feel like really the solution to the problem kind of almost coincides with that fucking like arc that I have or whatever, and that if you just gave everybody the fucking technology where they could just slide over to a different parallel universe, the one that they want or whatever, then it's fucking problem solved essentially, because there's infinite parallel universes, and there's no reason why we should be confined to this one if so many others exist. And I feel like,
so you want to deport people to parallel universes?
No.
I'm for that. That sounds pretty good.
This is a perfect segue for my little art. Won't be
okay.
If anything, it would be like, I guess you could say it would be like self-deporting, but. So
self-deport into the Phantom Zone. That's what I'm going to start telling schizos on the street.
It's not a Phantom Zone. It's, essentially like just like this plane of existence, but just like a copy of it. And maybe the more ideal one you actually want to be in, instead of having to succumb to the will of whatever, if anything at all, causes us to, slide from one thing to the other. Large hadron collider. Anyway, so I have an arc where I like, everyone can choose to believe whatever, and everybody really is sort of lacking evidence, really has maybe a little bit of evidence, but really not a...
When you say arc, you're talking the arc with a C, not with a K, right?
Yeah, arc with a C, like a story arc.
Okay.
Yeah, so since nobody really fucking knows anything, and nobody has yet enough substantial evidence to really push anything in one direction or another, that means that we can, we can choose to believe whatever we want, and we can use that energy to manifest whatever we want. So my suggestion to everybody's fucking problems is that we all need to start really concentrating on this arc where... the fucking good aliens have these like spaceship tiny home RVs for all of us, and they're just waiting for something to come down here and be like, hey, sorry it took so long, we were waiting for some shit to clear up, here's your guys' little spaceships, you can take these wherever, they have food, they have whatever, they have everything you need, go nuts, kids, it was good seeing you, see you later, kid. And then they zip off, because they don't want that to happen, because the moment that everybody gets little spaceship RVs, we're fucking gone. We are out of here. Or at the very least, I'm parking mine just outside the satellites, and I'll still come down to Earth to, like, go to the store, maybe, like, take a walk in a park, whatever, but I'm going to sleep and live in outer space on my little spaceship, and they know, and when I say they, I mean, like, government, world leaders, whatever. If there's 8 billion on the planet, and the planet's only being run by, like, 4,000, the other 7 point whatever billion people, most likely, I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but me and my homies are going to hop in our little spaceship. We're going to go check out the galaxy. We're going to go cruise to other galaxies. We're not going to stick around here and pay bills and work some shit job. Fuck that.
Right.
I'm fucking out of here.
Right.
Invited. Hey, you want to cruise to Alpha Centauri this weekend? Dude, tight. Let's go. And if we all... if we all leave, there'll be nobody left for their little show or whatever. So, second part of the arc is, if that doesn't happen, then, like, a sliver of space will open up like a portal, and a little, like, ethereal blob will be like, Clutch, I don't have a lot of time. I gotta give you this thing. I can't hold this form for very long. I'm gonna give you this little thing that's a little button or a little app on your phone where you can just slide over to the next parallel dimension. First thing I do is sliding over to the parallel dimension where they give us the space RVs.
Okay. So, by the way, it's space RVs.
From Melissa Best, breaking news, Michigan Republican Congressman Tim Walberg suggests that instead of sending aid to Gaza, the U.S. government should be considering nuclear bomb in the region. Awesome! Awesome! Yeah. What happened? What happened to send...
I think that schizo needs to self-deport to the Phantom Zone.
So, Silva says, gotta go to work. Love you guys. She wanted to give us love. And
bye, Silva.
Love you too. Have a good night. Love you so much. All right, so let's talk about CERN then, right? Let's go ahead and talk about CERN. everybody else who wants to come on, please hit, there's a button to go ahead and call in, right? You just hit the button to call in down below in the Podbeam app. You can come in. I've sent requests for people to come in. Please come in. If you want to come in and talk on the show, join in the discussion. I just ask that if you do come on in with multiple people, that you mute yourself as other people are talking. Give me a heads up if you want to speak into our chat box. Hello, chat! And let's go ahead and talk about CERN plans to test the world's most powerful particle accelerator during April's solar eclipse to search for invisible matter.
Yeah, also, go ahead. I saw a thing that, I see things and then, like, I don't really, like, dig too into them. You know, usually you can get some baseline level information with, like, a quick Google search or whatever, but I mean, like, I just, like, hear stuff, and then I just, like, think about it. I don't often dive too much into it, but I did see a thing that, like, NASA is, like, launching rockets on the day of the eclipse.
The same day!
Right.
Yeah. Same day! Yeah! Yeah, and the heart, they want to test the particle collider.
They want to test or study something. And, you know, on the CERN, I can't help but wonder, if that's the surface level, then what's the bottom layer? What's the bedrock? If CERN is what the public gets to see, what is the CERN that people don't know about?
Well, check this out.
So there's more than one CERN, you say.
Check this out, though, from South Austin.
You're concerned about the CERNs.
Check this out, though.
Everybody knows it or whatever. And then there's the stuff that you don't see about, and maybe if you're lucky, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, someone who wrote a book about it, who told their family, don't release this until 50 years after I'm dead, will come out and be like, oh yeah, they had a CERN, 20 years or 30 years before CERN was CERN, and the other CERN was way more powerful than the CERN we all know or some shit.
Well, that's concerning. Good Christ.
Got him.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. South Osmond
so
just
what were
sent,
you saying,
me, sent me some. I said South Osmond just sent me a bunch of stuff about what's going on. We're talking about the path of totality here with the solar eclipse, and they're talking about how the elites have to tell us about their rituals and stuff like that. They have to tell us what's happening before they do it. It's sort of a preemptive programming to put it into the collective consciousness, and we are dealing with that sort of stuff right now. I mean, if you look at everything Hollywood movies wise, the media, all of that stuff is out there, and they put it out there so that we will accept it when it happens. So this is the warning right now that we're getting. I'm gonna see if I could play a little bit of it here on the air. But this is talking about how the elites, I believe, are putting together rituals right now based on these planetary alignments. And it's one of those survival of the fittest things. If we survive, we survive, that kind of thing. Let's just see if we can get some of this in here right now. I'm trying to find out where that is right now. Just give me one second here. Okay, so... South Osmond wants me to play this one real quick. So I'll start off with this a little bit if you guys want. Here's an intro I made for South Osmond before I start playing some other stuff.
It was hard to know who was more crazy.
You hear that?
Yes.
Me. Or South Osmond. My life.
That's too loud. Just coming from my phone. If I had it up here, I'd give you an intro, my friend. It does sound filtered, doesn't it? Good. Well, anyway, I'm not going to play any clips for right now, just because clips over the phone. I love you too, South Osmond. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and thank you for allowing me to have the honor of making you that one. So let's go into this CERN thing real quick, and then we'll go into rituals and what they're doing, okay? Or at least the observation that all of this stuff is connected to a ritual. So, CERN, to test the world's most powerful particle accelerator during April's solar eclipse to search for invisible matter that secretly powers our universe. The Large Hadron Collider will smash atoms together on April 8th. The experiment hopes to discover particles that exist inside atoms. And this is by Stacy Liberatore for the Daily Mail. The world's largest, most powerful particle accelerator is set to smash protons together this week on April 8th to search for invisible particles secretly powering our universe. These theories have suggested 17 different particles groups, and the European Organization of Nuclear Research, also known as CERN or CERANOS, confirmed the existence of this using a Large Hadron Collider in 2012. Now the team has started the LHC in helping unraveling the mysteries of the universe, specifically dark matter. Scientists began primarily testing by sending billions of protons around the LHC's ring of superconducting magnets to boost their energy and to ensure $40 billion machine was working. Now I'm having some tongue-tied problems, so I'm going to go back to the Podbeam podcast. CERANOS, yes. Sounds safe, yeah, it sounds safe. What do you think, Clutch? Is this? NASA wants to send a couple missiles up that day, too. And we got the Devil's Comet. Yeah. And as you guys know, through various historical, like, events, these things seem to precede a lot of conflict and chaos, right? Now, Melissa, if you're listening in, if you need to reboot or come back in, if you got your it's probably not picking you up. Just wanted to let you know if you want to come in. Nate, you're always welcome. Oz, you're always welcome. Come on in. Everyone that's here wants to chime in, go ahead. So do you believe that this is some form of ritual? I mean, we've been seeing them do these events right over at
to fucking send syntactical acoustical vibrations through the fucking air for any fucking reason at all is at some fundamental basic level, you know,
some kind of ritual.
I mean, just think how ritualistic we are in our conversations. Someone says hello to you, thank you, or have a nice day. We ritualistically respond in these different ways for these various reasons. So anything that anybody does anywhere, to me, can potentially have that, you know, what you're talking about, that sort of kind of like, you know, either intentful or unintended consequence of it being, you know, ritualistic in some detrimental sort of way. You know, it's either...
Okay.
In terms of ritual, it's going to do one or two things, you know, because we do live in a, you know, polarity kind of like world, so it's either going to, like, clear the space out, or it's going to fill the space in, or maybe a little bit of both, depends which one comes first, you know.
Okay.
Will it be successful? Like, you know, who knows? You know?
Yeah.
We got South Osman on the line. Let's go ahead and get him on here. Hello, South sure. Osman. How you doing? And then we'll let you finish up. I just want to say hello to him. What's up, South Osman? You got things to chime in?
Yeah, g'day, Major. G'day, crew. Yeah, man. Well, they've literally got Shiva as their, like, emblem, you know, and it's a Shiva sort of cult. When you look at their ceremonies and things they do are quite dark, you know. So I wouldn't trust the buggers under anything, you know. What they're bloody highly capable of probably doing here is not in our best interest. That's for bloody sure.
Yeah, don't they have a Shiva statue near CERN?
Yeah, they also have it at their board meetings on the table. At the end of the table is the Shiva.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of yeah, and she's supposed to come around at the end of the, like, a, I think they, in Hinduism they have like four major cycles the Earth goes through, and at the end of the last cycle, she turns into a goddess of destruction of some kind.
I'm pretty sure that's what Shiva represents, is the goddess of destruction, or the god of destruction, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Shiva has both a feminine and a masculine aspect, and Shiva also has a non-binary aspect, too. If you guys didn't know about that.
Oh, non-binary, you say? Huh.
Yeah, and in its history, there is depictions of Shiva.
Just in time for Easter.
indeed. Yeah, so like all of this stuff could be connected. It all could be disconnected. Melissa's having some issues coming on in for some reason. I don't know why. Like, she's accepting the invite, but I'm not seeing her on the call. Anybody have any ideas of what we can do? If not,
I don't know. I see her on the call, and I see her mic is not muted. Maybe if you try muting her and then unmuting her, maybe that'll do something.
Well, she would be up here on the top of who's here and what's not, but. Yeah, there's always like something going on. Last week we had some technical issues with another guest host that we had on here, and it was, you know, whatever, you know, it happens. Okay, so why don't we move on to P. Diddy, right? Why don't we go ahead and talk about that right now, and then we can start talking about how this could be a distraction as well. How he's trying to this may be an idea that they're trying to cover up all of the stuff this guy does and all the people that he's. He's basically blackmailed through sexual blackmail. So the feds, what's going on with my ability to enunciate today? Okay, this is from the New York Post. The feds set to widen Diddy's sex probe over claims the rapper boasted about shooting people, bribing jurors, and using J-Lo as a gun mule. This was posted by Dana Kennedy, and it was published, of course, yesterday, March 30th, 2024. Almost 25 years ago, just after 2:30 a.m. on the cold winter night, three NYPD detectives were called on to the Midtown North Precinct. Wrapped impersonario Sean Combs, also known as Puffy, his then-girlfriend Jennifer Lopez, and his bodyguard Anthony Wolf Jones, and a rapper named Jamal Shine Barrow had been arrested following a shooting inside this Times Square club. And that wounded three bystanders. The cops found Lopez, then 30, cuffed to a cage. Cuffed to the cage.
Really?
And Combs was also at the house station on West 54th Street in spectacular plans for the celebration of the new millennium that would just hold a few days later. Okay, so I'm not going to go into all of it. I'm just going to go into like the sexual allegations that are going on, that he was trafficking young underage women. He was forcing people to
suck his dick.
suck his dick for sure.
Yeah, he's bisexual.
Diddy eclipsed the end time. Yeah, demon faces. Yeah, he's bisexual, and he's been forcing. Oh, looks like Melissa has joined again. Let's see here, and that he's been forcing people to have sex with him in order to give him fame and fortune. This is not the first time that famous people have been involved with this shit, and there actually is a history of tunnels that goes back to the 1930s, where the wealthy and the elite have been having these like eyes wide shut parties and these what is rumored to be cannibalistic, like where they're eating the flesh of children, right? And it goes, there's a cult right now that is still active in the United States called the Cult of Dionysus that is basically believes that having sex and eating the flesh of children will gain immortality. But it's not really talked about too much, but here you go. Your guys' thoughts on this, why don't we go with Clutch real quick? Go ahead.
Well, as far as I know, he got... Everything he learned, he was sort of groomed by the record company executive Clive Davis, who has like ties to the CIA. He's a Jewish guy, but Clive Davis also came out as bisexual towards the end of his career. But he was doing the same thing where they, from what I understand, because I was getting this information from Devin Stack over on Blackpilled, and he was saying that the business model was like, if you can get somebody to suck your dick, you can get them to do anything for you. And that's what Clive Davis was doing with some of his talent. They also said that they don't like talented people. Like, they don't want them too talented, because if they're too talented, they can do whatever they want. They can go anywhere and get a record deal. They don't have to do any sexual favors to get things, to get where they want to go. So P. Diddy was kind of doing the same thing. So his record company was called Bad Boy Records, and bad boy just meant like no talent. So his whole deal was to just get people to do his bidding so he could make some money. But you know, he's got a good eye when it comes to finding a good gun mule. I would pick J-Lo.
Yeah, that's that seems like a, you know, fairly solid choice. I mean, I remember that movie, I can't remember if it was The Departed or was it Blow. I just remember, what was her name? I think her name was Penelope Lopez or some. I don't even know if
Penelope Lopez.
I don't know if that was her or
she a gun mule or.
Samuel Hike. I just remember the scene in the movie is the husband was in jail or I don't know, something, and the wife, this Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz?
Samuel Hayek character as the wife had to make the deal with the fucking cartel. She had to deliver the goods. And so she had like a fucking. She had like a puppet, like a porcelain puppet, but the puppet was fucking made of the cocaine. Like its whole head was like one key.
Oh, nice.
You know, like reformed into this puppet or whatever. You know, so they. You know, they broke it down, and you know, you try and like, oh, okay, like, yeah, it's like all good or whatever. And so, yeah, the attractive and unassuming, you know, fucking thing is a solid move. But also, I've been hearing that some people are saying that fucking Diddy is like a fucking confident informant for the FBI, also. So, I'm really feeling like this is Epstein Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. And,
yeah.
I can't honestly, like, I, you know, I am like slightly disinterested in it because like I'm more waiting for like the seventh inning stretch. This is just like the first, you know, couple hits around the bases or whatever, and I'm all like, yeah, wait till he like turns over or somebody else comes out or videos surface or whatever. That like
I'm waiting for everything to surface. It's got to
other people that then implement other people. Like Melissa Best said, it's all connected to what Cat Williams said. And he was all like, all these motherfuckers are going down. So I'm like, the first couple dominoes, you know, are falling kind of slowly. But sometimes with those big stacked dominoes, you know, they kind of get stuck or they fall slowly. But then when they hit that big split and they all make that sound, you know, that.
Yeah.
You know, it goes around the whole thing. I mean, that's. I mean, I guess that's you know, every
know
time
about
talked to like every time I've ever talked to Mojo about anything, he's just all like, dude, aren't you excited? Didn't you hear about this thing? I'm all like, this is boring. Wake me up when it gets to the exciting part.
Well, let me tell you one thing that I do every day is I pray for a cataclysmic disclosure of all things. I look forward to the collapse. Looks like we got Melissa Best coming on here real quick. South Osman. Go ahead and chime in. I bet you have something to say that is connected to this, because this has to do with the royals too, because I believe Prince Harry is connected to this shit. At least there's rumors of this. That's why there's the certain disappearances. King Charles is missing. People are building bunkers, for one thing. And secondly, he's posting some interesting stuff, and I wish I could put those clips up here to be able to play a little bit of this, because I'm not getting any luck with it. But go ahead, South Osman, if you want to come in, and then we'll get to Melissa and see what she has to say about this as well. You there, Oz?
Yeah. What's the subject?
We're talking about the P. Diddy, Sexual Predators, Jimmy Savile, King Charles, since it seems to affect your country a little bit, being under the rule of, you know, British rule, right? A little bit?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Under the crown, I guess. Yeah, we're a part of the crown.
Okay, so I have one question for you. It hit Australian newspapers because we know that Tom Hanks is more than likely a pedophile. There was there was news in Australia at one point, right, that they had executed him, right?
Yeah, somewhere up in northern Australia. Yeah, something happened with Tom Hanks there, apparently. But all of it's speculation. There's no real proof from what I've seen.
Yeah. So no real proof. He's still active and out and about. It's funny that he was able to get away and try to run away, though, don't you think, Oz?
Oh, yeah, that says it all. I wouldn't be surprised if he's had flights to Greece because there's certain unregulated shenanigans that can happen over in that country as well, which I think he did have a tie to, which, it's hard to imagine someone like that, his persona on TV and all that, to portray that sort of a creep, you know, disgustingness.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seems like it's fairly legit. I mean, did you see the one where Bieber's just come out about certain things as well that was going on with him and some other dude in the industry?
Yeah, Bieber was kind of groomed partially by P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm. That was a bit freaky, that I've got him for 48 hours one with that rapper or whatever he was, or that movie star. Yeah.
That was 48 hours with Bieber.
Because we're living in a time of censorship and stuff. Go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead. Chime in.
Hi.
Hello, Melissa. I'm Missy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
50 Cent came out and spoke. Have you guys seen what he said about the P. Diddy?
No.
What did he
say? Please tell us.
So he comes out and talks about how, as a grown man, P. Diddy's like, let me take you shopping. And 50 Cent was already like, what the hell, you know, and he's now speaking about a lot of things, so it might be one to watch during this case.
Oh yeah, 50 is constantly roasting fucking Diddy on Instagram, like every day. I just found out about this, but apparently like almost every day for like weeks, maybe months, I don't know how long this has been going on, like every day on Instagram, like 50's just been roasting his ass.
Huh. Like, oh, somebody needs to.
I'm looking up some right now, guys.
Clips of the Bieber situation, and it definitely makes you look at what he's saying completely different.
I'm sorry, N8 and Melissa, I can hardly hear you. Just want to let you know that I can't make out what he's saying.
Yeah, it's just kind of quiet.
It's okay. Well, we'll figure this out. Things will start to work together. It's just a matter of speaking into your mic a little bit, you know. Some of us have like an actual microphone. Some of us are speaking through our phones and stuff. So sometimes it's a little harder to hear, like if you're on speaker or if you're speaking through a microphone. It's okay. I'm not trying to criticize you or whatever, but I'm just letting you know, if you can get up to that phone and you can speak, hell yes. So
is that, you know, a little more clear?
Oh, that's
better.
That's badass.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Way better. All
what
right,
did
so
do?
Did you know that
I just brought the phone closer.
Oh, well, that's perfect. Yeah, keep doing that.
Did you know that P. Diddy's father was that sounds weird. Okay, so do you know that P. Diddy's father was connected to a major black mafia that was in the Harlem district that was selling heroin on the streets of Harlem? They did a movie about it not too long ago with Denzel Washington, and I'm trying to find this guy's name, but I think his name was Frank. But they did a whole movie about him, and apparently Sean P. Diddy Combs and his father were connected to this organized crime organization. So I wish I could find
that's my thought. I actually think the P. Diddy situation is much larger And yes, he's guilty of these things, but he's also a pawn and a distraction, as in there's even more big, and they're hushing this up quick as they can.
Yeah, they're trying to... Well, that's the whole idea, because the Southern District of New York was the ones that were sending their Homeland Security guys to go and arrest him. And so they're thinking that that, like, several planes left. One of them was his. He was supposedly going to Aruba or whatnot. At least that was the idea. And that they were taking information from there and trying to destroy it. So it's the same people that went after Epstein that are going after P. Diddy, Sean Combs. And more than likely, they're going to try to silence him in some way, or, you know, put him away so that other people do not get put out
on
this.
What started is he had that Cassie case before all of this happened, and that brought some attention on him, and how he just bought her off so quickly raised eyebrows, and now here we are today.
Yep. That opens up the door for Jay-Z and Beyonce and all of the rumors. I think this is coming down to this.
Literally anyone, anyone in that's like big. This is like, I guess, I don't know. This is kind of like the entertainment industry version of Epstein, where like Epstein felt more like political leaders and like CEOs and shit. This feels like the same thing, but way more like entertainment industry focused. But who knows? It, you know how industries overlap each other, so there's literally no telling like where the end of this is.
And it's, I like, mean, considering the Pentagon's involved in the movie. Oh yeah.
And also, like, how far is it going to go? Where like the Epstein thing seemed like it was often very, very like swept aside or whatever, but this seems like more spotlight. So like, curious to see like where the arc is going to go. Like, is there going to be like a stopping point, or is this like an unstoppable thing and it's like only going to like unfold more?
Nothing can stop what is coming. Let me tell you how far this goes, man. Because what they're finding out is that Epstein and P. Diddy are affiliated somehow with the CIA in an operation for sexual blackmail. Epstein was connected to not only the CIA, but he was also connected to Mossad. And they're finding out that a lot of sex offenders with dual citizenship have been sent over to Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
What you want, but they're using these extradition procedures to go further. And if you look at the list of all the people that were affiliated with Epstein, man, or at least went on the flight logs, and it's hard to tell if that's real or not, because there's a definite obfuscation by the media to try to divert things and do certain things. And I think this is going, but listen, guys, we got to take a break real quick, right? Because I want to get into our main topic. So I hope you all stay on here. We'll talk about channeling entities, and even if we have time, we'll start talking about this demon face syndrome. And South Osman here, he just basically pointed out some connections here that may be coming up with this planetary alignment. So if you'll all mute yourself right now, we're going to go ahead and take a break, everybody. Thanks for listening in to the Dark Matter Podcast with Mojo the Mad Dr. Clutch. Everyone that's here, thank you so much. So I'm going to go ahead and mute us, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after the break.
The wolf laying in its den is never as hungry as the wolf fighting to survive. A hungry wolf is bound to wage a harder battle. To all of you fighting battles alone, remember our ancestors in the harsh wilderness, surrounded by croaking ravens and howling wolves. To all of you going against the grain, battling the naysayers, better fight and fall than to live without hope. Survive lost, for he who has traveled far and endured well is led to the greatest end of the journey. Be mighty and keep going. Be mighty and keep going. It will be worth it in the end. And if you stand by your own trial and not by what others say, the right folk and king will show up in your life. You won't be a lone wolf forever. So don't look back. Not every cloud which darkens the day brings rain. Look forward to the bright destination of your chosen path. It doesn't matter if you have to walk alone for a while. It is much better to walk alone in the right direction than be the one who waits to be taken like a fox from a trap. Stay strong. Your destiny is in your hands. Get out there and hunt it down.
Yeah. come back from the break.
We are back! We are back with the second part of the... Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! No applause! Yes, just yes. Money! Just money! Just give us money! Nah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, so we are back. And we are here with our guests tonight. We are here with Nate. We are here with South Osmond. We're here with Melissa. Thank you all for coming on the show and being a part of this collective consciousness we know is creation. Thank you all for being here. And Chuck, thank you for becoming a super fan on our show. You are most appreciated. To everyone that listened in, thank you. So this is going to be a part of the show. I'm going to go ahead and do the little stinger here, and then we will go into the main topic.
Now we cut to the dark matter of the main topic.
Yeah, I love you, Podbean, for clipping our stuff and making it sound weird and distorted. Thank you. Yeah, the audience loves that line. Yeah, they do. They love that. Yeah. We are going to be talking about a topic tonight that I think is very interesting, esoteric, and a lot to do with the occult matter that most people are afraid to talk about, but we're going to talk about it here. Isn't that right, everybody? We're going to talk about this subject, because fuck it, we want to talk about the subject. And we want to make sense of this subject. And even if we don't fully understand the subject, fuck it. We're going to understand it. And we're going to try to understand it, even if we don't. So there you go. So, Clutch, tonight we're going to be talking about channeling. We're going to be talking about entities. Talking about possessions. And I'm going to go ahead. Do you want me to go ahead and read a little bit about this real quick, what channeling is? Or do you want to go ahead and just ghost? Okay, so... This comes from...
Give us some definitions. Yeah.
Well, basically what channeling is someone sits in meditation or they attempt to contact another being or entity or an alien, ultra-terrestrial or extraterrestrial, a deity of some kind, and let that be, like, basically they become the transceiver of this this energy so that it speaks through them, okay? And there's various people that are doing it on YouTube. There was one that I sent you was Sam the Illusionist, who attempts to contact Ra and like Ashtar Command, the Palladians. And then there was a few others that you would turn me on to too. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, well, I stumbled upon a guy named Daryl Anka recently. And he channels, he's been channeling for a long time, like a few decades now. He's channeling some entity named Bashar, and Bashar is from Assassinani. It's two S's, so Assassinani. And I guess Assassinani is like some location near the Orion constellation or something. But anyway, he's been channeling for quite a while, and I stumbled on this guy on Schlick Talk. And then I checked him out on YouTube as well, GriftTube, as it were. And he's basically, it's really convincing to me, but and his, the Bashar message is really a lot of psychology and New Age theory, but it's woven so well together that makes it, it kind of enhances its believability, just the way that the philosophy that he's peddling works. And a lot of the philosophy is kind of like stuff that people have heard before. Like he peddles a lot of like positive psychology and law of attraction type stuff that's kind of been around in the zeitgeist for a while. But he just, in a way, he kind of makes it even make more sense than, like, if you were to just go pay for a therapist, it wouldn't be as good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of those little clips, you know, just like a few random clips I see on TikTok sometimes or whatever.
Have you seen this guy? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Okay. You know, it's been like 10 years at least, and I kind of, like, fell out.
And he's been
doing
it since the 80s.
Oh, yeah, the old – yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, his old stuff – was like, really like say anything other than like observational, but just like to me, his older stuff just seemed like it was this like a very, like it almost had a more performative quality like about it.
And now it seems like,
yeah, a little bit. And now it just seems more chill.
Do you think maybe the channeler is just getting more accustomed to the Bashar entity entering his being,
that could,
and so it's smoother now?
First, at first maybe that's just how, you know, as he was coming into it, maybe that's how he, you know, it was just so overwhelming he just rolled with it. And then after a while, kind of almost the same thing with like your Abraham Hicks type, you know, where, you know, it's a bit, I don't want to say subdued really, but the other thing I noticed a lot more, especially like in the clips, is how it seems to kind of veer off of the whole like manifestation, like formula and the sliding through parallel realities every frames per second, and kind of being like, this isn't the thing that I like want, but I know it's working out for me, so I actually do like this for whatever it is or whatever. I feel like he's really going more away from that classic, I'm channeling this thing in, to a more fundamental level of basic understanding of like your mind and consciousness and matter, and how when we label things and put projections onto things as objects, whether physical or non-physical, it tends to lead us like in a direction. And I see him being like, well, what about being like more observant? And, you know, you think you don't want this thing that's happening to you. This isn't the reality I prefer, yet here you are. How do you explain that? You know?
Right.
And, I've been getting in a lot more to like how consciousness as an entity that we are a part of, and everything is inside of, almost like consciousness is empty space in a way, to where like if it is not experienced, then there is no object, and that even the mind or even empty space, like deep sleep, is brought to consciousness. Like, here you go. What do you make of this? And consciousness just goes, well, that's just deep sleep. It's just empty. There's nothing here for me to do. And that is the thing that is for me to do, is the fact that it is sort of kind of like an empty space, sort of. Anyway, I kind of see him kind of like veering off into like thing. I don't want to say it. This is the only way I know how to frame it. I see him like putting it in more practical ways that are less esoteric, more digestible, and more integratable to people, okay, in their everyday lives, as opposed to like, oh, you got to have a quasi degree in, you know, physics, quantum entanglement, and new age stuff to get it. You know, it seems to kind of pushed away from that, and they're like, let's break it down like Moji, let's break it down like Swami, whatever his name is, I can't remember right now. Let's just look at pure consciousness and look at that and separate from all of the noise of the noise of the secret and manifesting material thing.
Yeah. Well, he tends to break it down a little more clearly. Did you see where they, I guess they did like some scientific testing with him to see like what's happening to his brain when he's doing the channeling?
Oh no. Did they do that?
Yeah, they did. And so, it's kind of weird. So in terms of brain waves, there's delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma. And gamma is like when you're in a high concentration mode. Theta, right, is like lucid dream, almost sleep, or dream sleep. So he's in some kind of gamma mode. Like and I guess your brain produces so many hertz at that time, but and it's weird. They say like his personality seems to disappear and it's replaced with something else. So they do seem like they're like whatever in your brain that lets like the science observer know like which part of the brain is like firing your personality or whatever, like that kind of like doesn't light up and something else is kind of speaking.
Oh, wow. So not only is there activity that lights up, but it's not coming from the typical place.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of weird. Yeah.
Well,
okay. Well,
go ahead, please. Well, I'm just saying I've experienced this. I experienced this on my road to my awakening, and you can call me crazy all you want, man. I don't care anymore. I wear it like a badge of honor. You know, that's why they call me Mojo the Mad. You know, I've had these experiences, man. I've felt like I've gone through possessions, but I was looking for it though. I wanted to find a tangible spirituality that I could contact with, and I literally went through this stuff. Now people will say, well, like you were on psychedelics or whatnot, but there is a supernatural element, I think, to expanding your consciousness through psychedelics. And I had direct messages, man, and I recently stopped. Bring on the DMT, says Melissa. Yeah, we'll get her on here. We'll get Oz to talk about this too. I've stopped searching for it. I really like, because this is the dark side of it. I think, I mean, people want to talk about the positivity of it, but I also think that there is an opening that happens where you become the gateway. Right. And if you're not careful, correct. Like, I think that transmission, once it's open, opens you up to other things as well. Right. And, all I can tell you is it led to my sobriety, like, you know, to a bigger deal. I don't want to say like I'm AA sober or nothing like that, but to everyone who knows me here, like I used to be like rock star crazy, right? Like half asleep and on autopilot. And I went from what I thought was taking a vacation on the couch to basically like opening myself up to stuff. And at first it felt very powerful, but with all things that I think opens up that transmission and you being a receiver, I think there's the possibility that you could be opening yourself up to some other things as well. I'm not trying to dissuade it, but I don't think all of it is positive, right? I think that some of these things may not be truthful, and some of these things have been known to lie, right? And then some things are just upfront and honest, straight up to you. But yeah, it takes a really strong person, I believe, to be able to handle that information coming to you. Now, I can go into stories if you want to. It doesn't really matter. Like, I've just gotten to a point for myself that I feel. I mean, I still get those messages from time to time. I still get a visitor from time to time. But like, for me. I just, you know, there's a point where you go down the rabbit hole so much that you go so far down that you look up and you're like, I'm looking up and it's a small hole of light. Right. And then you come back to yourself and but now like where it used to feel like I was like maybe losing my mind a little bit, like after I was able to get myself together a little bit, I found that my experiences are now shared, which is really interesting too. So I don't know, but Oz, do you want to come on in and tell us what you think and what your thoughts are on this stuff?
Yeah, I mentioned in the room about ego, and I think it's highly possible once you branch off from the chain of that ego that virtually nearly runs our lives, I think, in studies that it shows, is that it puts you into a different beta wave, alpha wave. M8 would probably know more about that, where I'm coming from.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think these things are highly possible. I've tried it over the years, not on any demonic level or anything, but I've never really gone down that feeling that that's happened. I've tried more. I don't want to take it off topic, but I was more into remote viewing than actually channeling, and that's where I think my main thing was. Yeah.
But did I think you have a lot of success with remote viewing?
Yeah, I did actually. I was quite amazed. It blew me away what I described. Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time I'd done it, a friend of mine, she's in a bit of woo-hoo. She sort of took me through a little bit of a, sort of like a semi, you know, just conscious state while we're talking. And I visualized this place, southern Tasmania, and I even described the rocks at the time, the trees, everything. I'd never, ever been there. And it was just down 100%, everything. Yeah.
Did you feel like you were in a dream state or something, or what kind of, or
yeah, yeah, it was concentration? Like, yeah, it was like an REM, you know, that like when you go into lucid dream sort of state. Yeah, it was like virtually just coming to me. I wasn't trying to think of anything. I just wanted to see this place, and I was actually floating around it to see it. That's how I visualized it. Probably about 100 foot off the ground, maybe 200, and I was seeing this whole remote place that I've never been to, but I was actually describing the actual rock formations and their content, like what they're actually made of and the trees, which was blew me away because I'd never ever looked into that part of, you know.
What you said right there, I think, is probably one of the most important things. You said, I wasn't trying to do anything, but you like showed up for the experiment or for the experience, just kind of being like, okay, what do? I don't know any better or any different. So you're just like, following along or whatever. And I did like a lot of that throughout the years with all kinds of, you know, woo-woo-y sort of stuff. I mean, I would just show up, I would hear about something or get invited, or, you know, I tried a few services or whatever where I'm like, you know, I understand how it works, but I'm just showing up like, I don't know and I don't care. I'm just here for it. And I think 100% that is like the best, most like neutral standpoint any one person can go in. Because if you try to do something, you're like, you're imprinting something on it instead of experiencing what allowing it to be is with, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a bit like when you lost your keys and you looked everywhere. You just got to sit down, have a cup of coffee or a tea. Don't take your mind off it. And next thing you know, there they are.
Yeah, You don't really like try to find your keys. You just find your keys or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Similar thing. But yeah, I was quite amazed with it. I've only tried it a couple of times, and especially that one really stood out, you know, that it really worked. But coming back to, I've never felt that I've actually had some sort of a contact with conjuring anything at all. I think before I go though, I think Aleister Crowley done this when he contacted was within April. I forget the year. But there's a certain porthole, they say, within a couple of days around the 8th of April that is highly significant to opening up these sort of portholes and communication.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Aleister Crowley in Egypt, which is interesting that you mentioned this, because the line of what we're calling the cross, the planetary alignment, but also what we're looking at is this where this eclipse is crossed, goes over places that have biblical names. And I believe one of the places,
right on Little Egypt, isn't it?
Little Egypt, yeah, that is supposed to go right over it. So Melissa wanted to come on in and talk about this too. Why don't you go ahead and come on and tell us what you're thinking and or whatever story you have.
Oh, I was just going to backtrack a little bit and on the comment of just going in with complete open-minded, losing control. That's all. Continue on this topic. No, I'm listening to this topic. So now I'm like, oh, my mind's sidetracked now on this.
I always kind of just go in as sort of kind of like a ding dong. like almost like I'm a lost idiot or something. Like I'm just all like, okay, I'm here. What do you want me to do?
Well, go ahead, Oz.
The only thing I'd done was I envisioned geographically where that place could be. So I knew on the map where it was. So that's the only thing that I'd done deliberately to get there. Apart from that, everything I just left to what was coming to my mind, like flying like an eagle over the
Yeah, you got to have, you got, I think that's like, I want to say it's almost like a mandatory thing in the process, is you have to have some kind of target. So whether it's like a person, a place, or a thing, until you get into the advanced levels where they, like that dude that got interviewed, that was like a famous remote viewer or whatever, they would just like, they would be like, I have an envelope in my pocket. I need you to tell me what's in the envelope. You know, so that's like nothing to go on at all, other than your only target is a piece of paper with words on it. I guess that's still a target. But the other thing I heard too, because I had this book somewhere on remote viewing and ESP and stuff, and that it's really good to practice with someone or a group of friends, like at least one other person, you know, sometimes two or three or whatever, but a consistent group where you practice remote viewing, I hear, is you can do it by yourself, but if you do it with somebody, that it just helps both of you grow faster.
I have something to add here. Here's a little technique that I've learned, if you guys want to learn one. Okay, so this is a technique that'll teach you the basics of mind projection, some telepathy. And it is to sit in front of somebody. This is going back to what Nathan was saying. Look at someone and stare them right into the eye. Okay? And look right into their pupils. Try not to blink as much as you can. And then have one person, before you get started, think of an image and see if that image manifests into your brain. So that it becomes sort of a transferal of it, right? The other way of doing this, too, is a form of astral projection that kind of goes along the sides of remote viewing. Remote viewing is the image of that location or the coordinates of that location, and then meditating until you let go completely. So one of the things I did while me and Nate were getting together with another person by the name of Pax Tomb at one point during the pandemic, we were meditating quite a bit, right? Remember that, Nate? And
yeah, good time. Every day at like noon.
Well, I decided to not drink and destroy myself, and I wanted to see if I could center myself at that point and be able to focus myself on the shit. So what I did is I thought of an image of Mars that I saw that was taking a picture from a rover, right? And I wanted to go there. So I had gotten to a point where I was meditating for 3 months, and I started having these little mystical experiences while I was letting go. Like, there's a point where you get the understanding of your breathing, right? And focus on the breath, right? From closing your eyes in a silent place, or listening to, like, a binaural beat of some kind, if it's legit, or Monroe Institute. That's what I was listening to. Actually, what I was listening to at the time was the sounds of Mars, okay? So I breathed while I was sitting into the hemi sink, yes, the hemi sink, and I was listening to the what you would call the atmospheric like sounds supposedly recorded from the planet itself. And I wanted to go there, so I thought of these three things. You want to think about the taste, the smell, the feeling. What is the weather like? Mars is cold, so I felt that it was cold. I went through all of those things, and then it sent me to that planet. And then all of a sudden, it went from the planet part of it to a giant forest above me. And I was flying, soaring through an eagle. And at that point, there's this moment where you're shocked by the imagery that comes to you, right? And so in order for you to continue, you just keep going with this meditation, but you want to try to hold on to that imagery as long as you can. But there's that moment of shock that shocks the system, right? That wants to send you back, right? Because like what Oz was talking about is the ego, and Nathan was talking about the ego, letting go of that. That was a big deal. Like what I've noticed when going back to a psychedelic stuff too, because I was doing psychedelics with meditation, and I no longer do. I don't touch that shit anymore. But let me tell you that one of the things that happens, like, and one of the things I've noticed about this shit is that there's a conscious effort right now to make the shit stronger and stronger and stronger. So I feel like there's a movement that has been creating this stuff to make it like, so that people have an awakening of some kind, right? And if your brain, all of the parts of your brain that are not active, right, are active when you take, like, say, mushrooms or DMT or LSD or any of those things, I think that, like, no matter what you do, how heavy it is, it makes you peak so hard that you have an ego death. And so that led to a lot of what I believe is contact with entities, other beings, whatever you want to call it. I want to pose this question to all of you as we're getting pretty close to an ending. Would you want to continue the show? Because I think we have a lot more to discuss on this topic. And as we get closer to the show, if you're all willing to go back on the air for a little bit longer, I can end it and restart it, because I think you all have a lot to say, and I like this idea that we're sharing our experiences. What say you all?
Yeah, you can, we can restart it. We're like, what you're saying is
you're not go a little bit longer
on our time limit. But
I would like to have you all join me again, and we'll get into this. South Osman's down, Melissa's best is down, Nathan's down, so we're all good at so. What will happen is, as we get closer, it's going to be about 15 minutes in. You guys can go ahead and we'll plug it as a regular plug for your shows and everything else that you guys are doing. I'm going to go ahead and start it off with our happy music, and then we'll end it with the outro. And then what will happen is I will send you all links, and those that are following us now can come back on. All right? Sound good? What say y'all? Go ahead and speak up now. Oz says cool. Nate says cool. Chuck, please come back. I'd love to have your talk. Everyone says it's cool. All right, so we're going to go to our happy music. Let's do this. Yeah! Coconut! Yeah! All right, so I'm Mojo the Mad. This is my show along with Clutch. We are on the air 3 p.m. Saturday. Find me on SoundCloud under Mojo the Mad, the Drum Along the Diva. And from our previous podcast, Welcome to Stand By. And I'm on different places throughout the internet with my music and whatever I've created and art. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can also join us on our Telegram channel, where everyone's invited to come on in. Join us on Telegram, please. And for those who want to come on, that are on the show, that want to come on and join, please interact with us. Please, please, please. So Clutch, go ahead. Go ahead, plug away, my friend.
Want to find what I'm up to? Go to taurusmusic.net. That's all I got to say for now.
All right, Nate, what do you got to plug? Oh, nothing? Okay. South Osman, what do you got to plug? South Osman, go ahead, please, sir.
Strange days, good days to the day. Very strange, and I'm hot.
Turn that down so we can hear you. Okay, go ahead. South Osman. Go ahead.
Why, and he plugs me on show, I guess. Strange Days with a Z. That's it.
Oh, please listen to cool. South Osman's show. Strange Days podcast is fantastic. He's a great guy. He'll bring you on the show. And as you know, he's knowledgeable and he's got some interesting stuff going on. Missy, what you got to plug before we go back on to the next part? You there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a good one. June 1st, be on the lookout for my first ever book. It is a young adult sci-fi book full of quests and a one-minute book.
And we can find you on Facebook under Melissa Best, right? Hell yeah.
Or
so
Instagram as Soul Saga.
Hell yeah. Well, for all of those that are listening in, we're going to continue on this show. It's going to keep going. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to end it here with the outro, and then I'll come in with another intro, and we will continue on with this conversation on the second half of the Dark Matter podcast, talking about channeling, entities, aliens, awesomeness, and be nice to everybody if you can, but don't put up with shit, everybody. Love and blessings to y'all. We're going to be back on here in just a second. This has been a Mojo Mojito Productions.